Well, everybody, welcome to episode 231 of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast. As always, it's brought to you by our good friends at Coldwell Banker Mid-America. Coldwell Banker is rooted in the legacy of our founder, renowned businessman and philanthropist, Marvin Pomeranz. We continue to tell his story through our love of people, homes, and the communities we serve. Our integrity guides our focus to empower people to make the best real estate decisions possible. We pair local ownership and knowledge with the power of an international brand and the most advanced technology to elevate the customer experience and expectations. Our network of resources allows us to be the number one Coldwell Banker franchise affiliate in Iowa, guiding you home for over 30 years. All right, well, we're going to talk a lot of high school football here later tonight, but right now my first guest is a realtor at Coldwell Banker, and she's making her first appearance on the podcast in about 3 years, I believe. She is Amy Weeder. And Amy, thanks for coming back. How
are
you doing?
Good. How are you? Thanks for having me again.
Hey, you bet. I know last time that we talked, we were at the other office, weren't we?
We were, yes.
Well, this is a nice place over here. I really appreciate MJ Properties letting us use this office. We got a nice nice office to use here for the podcast. I've enjoyed being here for about a year now. So, well, Amy, I know your daughter plays for the volleyball team, and they've had a pretty good year so far. Have you liked what you've seen so far from the Hawkins?
So far, yeah. We've been battling some injuries, which is not good to see, but we're coming back and have another big tournament this weekend. We were off yesterday, which was nice. Helped some of those girls, you know, recoup and get better. So
sure. Well, yeah, I've been getting to know Coach Bathke, who came here from Urbandale. It's been kind of a whirlwind for her coming over here, but with not much time to spare and trying to get to know everybody. And, yeah, I'm sure it's been a challenge for her.
It has been, but she's done a wonderful job. She's an amazing human, so.
And you mentioned injuries, of course. Aowen Schrader was battling the elbow injury. She's back now. And then, of course, Tanith Roush broke her leg. They're hoping that she'll be back at the end of the season. I mean, if they get everybody healthy, I mean, I could see them making a run.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Aowen didn't play last weekend. The elbow's bothering her a little bit, but Hopefully we'll see her back this weekend.
Sure. Well, we can talk a little about real estate, too. So what's new in your world, in the world of real estate?
You know, things are pretty busy. Rates haven't really deterred people. So a lot of new construction houses lately, so that's good to see. So going into the fall weather, usually about August, state fair time, back to school time's a little slow, but it's been picking up. So it's a good indication of what the fourth quarter's going to look like.
Now, do you have any specific developments that you work with, or are you just a general real estate agent?
I'm just general. I don't represent a builder, which gives me the opportunity to show a bunch of different properties. So,
well, you said you've been really busy lately. So, I mean, do you get like a lot of people calling you on an everyday basis? I mean, looking for places?
Yeah, I do. Actually, I picked up two today, so that's good. It was a good day. That's why I was like, oh gosh, I hope I don't need stats or anything, because I was busy doing that.
So, yeah, I guess those mortgage rates aren't you know, keeping people away, huh?
You know, it's just temporary. So I tell people, I'm like, yeah, you'll have to pay them now, but hopefully they go down, you can refinance and get your payment down lower. So,
well, if you had any advice for home buyers right now in this market, I mean, especially here in Ankeny, I mean, what would you tell them? I mean, do they need to act fast? Because there probably isn't a lot of inventory right now, is there?
There is not. And actually, I would tell them, real estate's always the best investment you can make. So go ahead and don't let the rate stop you.
Yeah. So how long have you been doing real estate now?
I started in 2005, so I've been through the 2008 crisis, and 2020 was, you know, a different year for all of us too, but made it through. It's been great.
You bet. Well, hey, thanks a lot for coming tonight, Amy. Appreciate it.
Yes, thank you.
You bet. Hey, before my featured guests arrive for the podcast tonight, I just wanted to plug a great event that's going to be going on this weekend. If you're a biker and you enjoy having a good time, and I'm talking about bicycling, not motorcycle riding, but if you enjoy biking, there is a great event going on this weekend. One of my old friends from high school, Robin Hagen, puts on a ride every year in memory of her sister Kim, who died of a rare blood disease many years ago, and she puts on a ride every year. And so this will be going on Saturday. It begins up in Slater at the Nighthawk about 10 o'clock. You can look online for Kim's Ride through Facebook. I think you can find the registration there. Otherwise, you can also just show up on the day of the event, and they'd be more than happy to have you go along with the ride there. So they'll go from Slater over to Madrid and then into Woodward and back. The plan is to finish up in Slater. They have a band they'll be playing later that night. But it really is a great event. I've done it many years in a row now. It's a lot of fun. So yeah, if you enjoy bicycling, enjoy having a good time, I think you'll enjoy this ride. And I know they're looking for more people to sign up. Unfortunately, I'm going to miss it this year. I feel bad about it, but I'm going to be heading out to Ohio tomorrow to visit some family. And we're going to the Iowa State football game on Saturday, so that should be a lot of fun. But I'm certainly going to miss the ride. So I would encourage any of you who enjoy bicycling to sign up for the ride and to go along with them. I know you'll have a good time. As far as our coverage goes for Ankeny Fanatic, even though I'm going to be gone, we will have people at both of the football games on Friday night. Both of our photographers will be at those games. We'll also have reporter Gabe Plager over at the Centennial at Southeast Polk football game. And we'll be talking a lot more about that football game here in a few minutes. So you can still expect some coverage from Ankeny Fanatic throughout the weekend, but it might just be a little bit behind schedule, a little bit slower than usual, just because I'm going to be gone until Sunday night. But anyway, just wanted to give you that update. And again, I would encourage you, if you enjoy biking, to join the Kim's Ride. All right, my next guest is the longtime co-head coach of the Ankeny Centennial football team, and he has helped the fourth-ranked Jaguars to a 2-1 record thus far. He is Ryan Pizzetti. Ryan, thanks for joining me. How are you doing?
Good. Thanks for having me.
Hey, you bet. Well, you guys have a huge game coming up on Friday, and we're certainly going to break that one down here in some detail. But first, I wanted to briefly recap what your team has done thus far. After opening the season with a double overtime loss to Ankeny, you guys bounced back with a 42-6 win at Ames the following week, before thoroughly dominating then number 6 Cedar Falls in a 42-13 victory last Friday. Now, I'm sure you felt like maybe your team let that first game slip away from you, but you have to, you know, be really proud of the way these guys have responded the last 2 weeks.
You know what? Anytime you play a rivalry game week one, the favors go out the window. It was a great game. You know what? We started off well. Second half, Ankeny really fought back on us. We pushed it to overtime, and they made the plays, and we didn't. You know, you fast forward to the Ames game, we sharpened some things up. Ames offensively is always a very offensive, dominant football team, and our defense did a great job. Our offense did what they needed to do. And then you move forward to last week. You know, Cedar Falls had a lot of returning starters from that team we played twice a year ago. Some Division I type talent. And our kids just played great. Our coaches prepared our kids as best as they could. We knew they would come in and be physical with us, and we matched that to a certain degree and came out with a victory, which was outstanding.
Well, your team won that game at Ames without your top running back, Elijah Porter, who was out with an illness. But Braden Jackson and J.J. Morgan stepped up to combine for 145 yards rushing and 4 TDs. I mean, so that just showed how much depth you guys have in the backfield, didn't it?
You know what? All our skill positions, you know, we try to get the ball to everybody as much as we can. Trenton does a very good job of placing the ball to different receivers, running backs. Obviously, that's a little bit different when you can determine who gets the ball. Eli's had a great year with the two games that he's played. Braden and J.J. both have had outstanding years as well.
Well, your team's offense was pretty much unstoppable on Friday, you know, against a team that had intercepted 4 passes the previous week in a win over Johnston. The guy sitting here with us tonight, Trent Smith, completed 18 of 21 passes for 287 yards and a school record 6 touchdowns. I mean, boy, what can you say about his performance?
Oh, efficient. You know what? When we look at things throwing the ball, we want to complete 2/3 of our passes. And when you look at the numbers, and it's close to 80% on the year, 11 touchdowns, no interceptions. But we're taking care of the ball. He's just doing an outstanding job.
Well, it seems like when Trenton came here as a sophomore, you know, you could see that he had a lot of potential, which he really seems to be realizing now. You know, what has been the key to his growth as a quarterback? Do you think it's been as much of a mental thing for him as it has been physical?
You know what? He's a worker. He does everything that he needs to do. He's a great practice player. He's an encourager. Everything that you would want in a quarterback.
Well, Porter also had a big night for you guys on Friday. He returned to the lineup, and he ran for 128 yards and 13 carries, and he also caught 5 passes for 87 yards and a pair of scores. Now, he verbally committed last month to play for Northern Iowa, and it's easy to see why the Panthers wanted him. You know, he's a pretty special running back, isn't he?
You know what? Very dynamic. We've had this plan for him for a long time. He's a sophomore. He actually didn't play running back. And after that year, we knew he was one of those dynamic kids that could maybe potentially take that next step, and he has. You know what, he comes from a great family. His brother Trey plays for Northern Illinois, and then it's exciting to see Eli committed to go play for the Panthers.
Well, your defense also came up huge on Friday, holding the Tigers to just 260 total yards, and a big chunk of those came after the game had already been decided. Cole Pieper had 11 and a half tackles, and he also intercepted a pass on a 2-point conversion attempt. And Isaiah Bassett was in the backfield all night. He had a pair of sacks among his 4.5 tackles. And I know your defense had a lot of question marks coming into the season, but you know that unit's really come a long ways in the last couple of weeks, hasn't it?
They have. You know what? We have a nice blend of seniors, juniors. We have a couple sophomores that help out. We have a freshman that helps out as well. You know what? Inexperience is probably the word going into the first game that we were afraid of most. But after playing a game like that and then coming back against Ames and then coming back against Cedar Falls, there is experience and there is seasoning. And I mean, obviously, when you look ahead to Friday night, that is their biggest task.
Well, yeah, your team will now play on Friday at Southeast Polk, the two-time defending Class 5A state champion. The Rams are off to a 3-0 start, and they debuted their brand-new stadium last week with a 42-7 win over previously unbeaten Cedar Rapids Prairie. Now, before we break down the matchup, I want to ask you about the stadium. You know, it looks beautiful from having driven by it a few times. Coach Zelenovich has really built a powerhouse program over there, and now they have a stadium to match the success of the program, don't they?
Oh, they do. You know what? I've driven past it. I haven't been in it yet, but I saw some aerial shots from last week's game. It's just a beautiful stadium. It'll be a fun place to play on Friday night. It's their homecoming, so it'll be a packed house. So great atmosphere for Iowa high school football.
Well, the Rams have already defeated three strong teams. In week two, they rolled to a 58-21 win over Ankeny after the Hawks, of course, had rallied to beat your team in week one. Quarterback Connor Moberly passed for 272 yards and 5 touchdowns in that win. And for the season, he's completed nearly 68% of his passes for 679 yards and 12 scores. And he has been intercepted only just one time. So I was at that game, and Moberly was really good. And so were his top two receivers, Sam Zelenovich and Carson Robbins. I mean, they just have so many weapons, don't they?
They do. I mean, obviously, everything's built around him. He's an outstanding quarterback. He's a two-year starter. I don't think he gets enough credit for his athleticism. Everybody says how well he can throw the ball, and he does. But he's an extremely good athlete. He's in a system that focuses around him. They have nice running backs, their offensive line. A lot of those guys are three-year starters. It's going to be a tall task for us, for sure.
Well, yeah, Southeast Polk isn't as run-heavy as they were last year, of course, when they had Abu Sama. But C.J. Phillip has been a pretty good replacement. He's rushed for nearly 200 yards and a couple of touchdowns. So it seems like they do just enough, you know, on the ground to kind of keep a defense honest, don't they?
Absolutely. You know, just like I said earlier, for us in 5A football, you have to create balance. And you have to try to do it, even though maybe you don't throw the ball as well or maybe you don't run the ball as well. You look at all the quality teams throughout Central Iowa and throughout the state. All of them are balanced to a point. And Brad does a great job over there at Southeast Polk with his RPO game and his passing game and his running game to make sure things are balanced from start to finish.
Well, considering that the Rams are averaging more than 40 points per game, you know, it's not only going to be critical for your offense to move the ball to keep it away from them, but you're also going to have to convert those drives because you're probably going to need more than field goals to win this game, aren't you?
Oh, absolutely. We're going to have to score points as they're telling their team they have to score points. And the magic number, you know what, you always say if you can get 24 points, maybe it should be a win. But in this case, I don't know if that's going to be the right number. It's going to be a tough game for us. It's going to be a tough game for them. We're ready to play. We're as healthy as we've been. So it's going to be a challenge for us, but we're looking forward to it.
We certainly have to feel good about the way your offense is playing. You know, after last week's game, you guys just have so many different weapons on offense, and Trent has been able to spread the ball around to a lot of different players. I mean, if this game does, you know, materialize into a shootout, I mean, you gotta feel like you guys can keep up with them.
Yeah, you know what? We're gonna do our best. Absolutely. You know what? Just like last week, we were very efficient on every drive that we had, and that's the way it has to be again this week. You know, Cedar Falls was a quality opponent. You know what? But from start to finish, you know, when you don't have to punt, you don't put yourself in a position to punt, obviously that's going to be something good for you. This game, I could see it be more of a field position game at times. Who doesn't turn the ball over? Who doesn't get penalized? And especially one thing we haven't talked about is special teams. In these big games, they come up huge.
When you look at the Class 5A football landscape as a whole, both Dowling and Southeast Polk are off to 3-0 starts, you know, which probably isn't surprising to too many people. Last year's state runner-up Valley is off to an 0-3 start, but of course two of those losses were to the Rams and Maroons, and the other one was to Johnston, which was a semifinalist last year. You know, just so many good teams in this part of the state. Have you been surprised by any of the results thus far?
You know, yes and no. I mean, it is balanced. You know, I think you look from start to finish in Central Iowa, I think anybody can beat anybody on a given Friday. When you look at the eastern side of the state, you know, I think we caught lightning in a bottle as well as we played against Cedar Falls, but they're a quality team as well. I mean, you don't have that many Division I kids and give up on your season. They'll be back, for sure they will. You look at Pleasant Valley, look at Bettendorf, that's undefeated. With Central Iowa teams, you know, that's what we really look at as far as, because we're playing each other and we're beating up on each other. Talking to Coach Swenson before the season started, it's who stays the healthiest throughout the year. And once you get to the playoffs, the healthiest teams will be the most competitive teams for sure.
Well, Valley showed last year that you could be a 500 team and still go to the finals.
Absolutely.
Well, you guys will have another big game coming up against Dowling in a couple of weeks, and obviously every win that you can get will help for playoff positioning. You know, because at the end of the year, I mean, the road to the Uni Dome is going to be a lot tougher if you're 5-4 or 6-3 than if you're 7-2 or 8-1, right?
Oh, absolutely. There's going to be some outstanding teams, 5-4, 4-5 around that. Just because of their schedules doesn't mean they're poor teams. The past 2 years, we had a 5-4 team and a 4-5 team that they're good football teams. We just played very, very difficult schedules. And then when you look at teams like right now that are struggling, that have a nice football team like Valley, you know, they play Waukee, another nice opponent on Friday. It's tough. But when you look at everything towards the end, there might be some teams that go 7-2 or maybe even 8-1 that have not played the schedule that all of us had that might bump us out. And, you know, you just want to have your destiny in your own hands going forward to make sure that you have that playoff spot and that you're in it.
Sure. Well, it should be a great game on Friday night. Ryan, good luck on Friday, and thanks for coming tonight.
Thank you. Appreciate you having me.
You bet. All right. Well, my final guest tonight is a senior quarterback for the Jaguars, and he's off to a great start this season. He's completed 41 of 52 passes for 596 yards and 11 touchdowns and is yet to be intercepted. He is Trenton Smith. Trenton, thanks for joining me. How you doing?
Thanks for having me. I'm good.
Hey, you bet. Well, let's recap the season thus far before we look ahead. Obviously, you guys had a tough loss against Ankeny to open the season. Your team had leads of 17-0 and 24-7 before falling in double overtime, 39-38. You know, what was the mood of the guys after that game? Did you kind of feel like you let that one slip away?
Yeah, I'd say a lot of guys felt a little bit defeated and knew that, you know, we thought we were the better team and that we should have executed a little better. And I think mostly it was just a lot of guys got tired. And it was a hot night, and we had a couple guys cramping too. So I think we let it slip away a little bit, and guys were upset, but it is what it is.
Well, I remember there's several guys that had trouble with cramping that night. Did you have any trouble with cramps that night?
I actually did. Later in the third quarter, I had both of my calves cramped, so it's no fun.
Oh, no, I can't imagine. Well, then in week two, your team rebounded the 42-6 victory at Ames, and you played a big role in that win, completing 15 of 16 passes for 191 yards and 2 touchdowns. Now, was that kind of an emotional game for you, playing against your old teammates from Ames?
Yeah, it was definitely an emotional game for me. You know, I'm still close with a lot of guys there in Ames, so I just told them before the game, you know, we're not friends on the field until after the game, we're back to normal. So I'd say it was definitely emotional, but I'm proud of my guys and how they went out there and played.
Well, then last Friday, you followed up with what was probably an even better performance, passing for 287 yards on the school record 6 touchdowns and the 42-13 victory over Cedar Falls. Now, I asked you about the revenge factor after the game because your team had lost at Cedar Falls 14-10 in the opening round of last year's playoffs. Did you guys mention that game much throughout the week then?
All week, almost every day. Our coaches had it in our head. You know, they knocked us off last year in a really tough game. And it was right down to the end. So that was definitely something that we talked about all week, and that was a big factor in our win.
Well, we talked with Coach about Elijah Porter's performance in that game, but he wasn't the only one who had a good night. Chase Shetty caught 3 passes for 67 yards and 2 scores. Lawson Langford had 5 catches for 69 yards and a touchdown. And Braden Jackson had the first scoring catch of the night to get the route started. You just have so many different weapons that you can go to on any given play. I mean, it really makes your job easier, doesn't it?
Yeah, it definitely makes my job easier. You know, those guys come in every day ready to work. And we've got 4 of the 4x100 runners for Centennial. So we've definitely got some guys with speed, and we've got skilled guys that can really do things with the ball. So my job is just to get it to them and let them do their thing.
Well, we haven't even talked about Max Snyder because he had just 1 catch for 7 yards on Friday. But, of course, he had the big game against Ankeny with 6 catches for 103 yards and 2 touchdowns. I know he hasn't been a big part of the attack the last 2 weeks, but, you know, I'm sure he's another guy that you know will make some more big plays throughout the rest of the season, won't he?
Yeah, Max is dealing with a little bit of an injury from week one, but he's also one of those guys on that 4x100 team. He's really fast, and if he gets space, I trust that he's going to catch the ball.
Well, we talked with Coach about your development as a quarterback. As a sophomore, you were kind of pressed into duty at the end of the season after Peyton Good suffered an injury. You completed 16 of 38 passes for 230 yards and a touchdown. Then you became the full-time starter last year when you completed 111 of 165 passes for 1,319 yards and 10 scores. You know, you're on pace right now to pass for nearly 1,800 yards and 33 touchdowns this season, and that doesn't even include any potential playoff games. You know, those would be some pretty lofty numbers that would smash the school records. So what do you think has been, you know, the key to your development? Has it been something somewhat mental too, as far as your development?
Yeah, I'd definitely say it's been mostly mental. You know, I remember my freshman year at Ames, I had some, you know, I was really stuck on the boundary and I didn't want to pass to the field. You know, I was a little bit nervous. And I'd say moving up to my sophomore year, I got some more action and the game started coming to me a little bit better and things started moving a little bit more at my pace. So I'd say it's a lot mental, especially at the quarterback position, knowing what's going on before the ball snapped. And I'd say that's
I'm sure it took you a while to learn the offense too, right?
Yeah, it definitely did take me a while to learn the offense, but working with Coach Rossetti, you know, before I came here, we're kind of similar in a way that we're both not loud people. And so he can talk to me and I'll pick up on it fast.
Well, now you guys get a chance to play Southeast Polk, and that's obviously going to be a huge challenge. We talked with Coach about their new stadium. Are you excited to play there?
I am. I'm super excited. I heard they're going to have record-breaking numbers. It's their homecoming, so it's going to be a good one, and we wouldn't want it any other way.
Well, ironically, your first start as a sophomore came against the Rams, and that was a game that Southeast Polk won 16-0 in a defensive battle. You completed 6 of 12 passes for just 34 yards in that game. You know, do you remember much about that night?
I do remember playing against Xavier Nwankwa. He's playing at Iowa now. Great player, 5-star. And I say I was a little bit scared before that game, but we kept it pretty mellow. Not too many passes, so it was good.
Well, then last year you guys played over at Southeast Polk toward the end of the regular season, and the Rams posted a 42-16 victory. You sat out that game with a minor injury in order to get ready for the playoffs, and your replacement, Chase Kluver, passed for 154 yards and a touchdown. So I'm sure you're kind of chomping at the bit to get a chance to play against these guys, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm excited. I haven't played them since my sophomore year. It's a big game. You know, Connor Moberly, he's going to Iowa State. He's another quarterback in my class. I have a lot of respect for him. He can do big things with the ball, and like Coach Rossetti said, he is also athletic. So I'm excited to get up there and just do what we know we're supposed to do.
Well, I imagine you've spent a lot of time looking at film of the Rams' defense this week. What do you see from their defense, and what will be the key to attacking them?
Yeah, so they basically play cover 3, a lot similar to what Cedar Falls did. Mm-hmm. And it's just going to be getting our guys the ball in space at the end of the day. We have guys that can really fly when they get it. So for me, it's just get the skilled guys the ball and let them do their thing.
Well, both you and Coach Rossetti mentioned after last week's game that the plan was to be balanced against Cedar Falls, and I'm sure that's really the key against any opponent. You know, are you confident with the weapons that you have, both in the running game and the receivers, that you can move the ball against Southeast Polk? You know, or just about anyone for that matter, you know, both on the ground and through the air?
Yeah, I mean, Porter's had a great year in the two games that he's played. Braden Jackson, J.J. Morgan, you know, all those guys contribute, and I think with those weapons that we have at the running back position and receiver position, it kind of makes it hard for teams to defend us.
Well, we talked to Coach about the possibility that Friday's game could turn into a shootout. You've seen how much your defense has improved the last 2 weeks. Are you confident that those guys can slow down the Rams enough to give your offense the opportunity to outscore them?
Yeah, I'm definitely confident in those guys. They come to work every day, just like the offense. You know, every day they're asking Coach, you know, can we go good on good? You know, they want the competition. And I'm sure it'll let a couple slip away. And Southeast Polk's got a great offense, but it'll definitely be a shootout.
Well, boy, Isaiah had a nice game last week. He was just all over the backfield, wasn't he?
Yeah, Isaiah Bassett, another guy that works super hard. And he's kind of coming to light now and realizing, you know, it's the same game from when you were a little kid. It's just you're older now, and it gets a little bit faster, but I think he's up to pace.
Well, turnovers are always crucial in these big games, and you guys have done a great job of not turning the ball over this season. Is that something that Coach preaches a lot in practice?
Yeah, I'd definitely say even my sophomore year when I first got here, you know, Coach tells me, don't go broke making a profit, and that kind of stuck in my head all the way up until now. You know, take what you can get, and there might be a guy running deep, but he might be in double coverage, and if you check it down to that under guy, you might pick up 6 or 7, so we're moving the sticks with that.
Well, in any given play, too, you have so many guys out there. I mean, everybody can make a play. I mean, even if you dump it off to somebody in the flat, I mean, they can make a play and maybe turn it into a big play, huh?
Yeah, definitely, for sure.
Well, hey, before I let you go, I just wanted to ask you about your future plans. Do you have any offers yet? Have you looked at any schools?
No offers yet. I'll be taking an unofficial visit up to Iowa here soon. Really, I'm just keeping my options open. You know, I want to go somewhere where there's a player's coach, a coach that's for the players, and somebody that will really trust me and work with me and develop me. And so right now my options are open. I'm open to going wherever.
Well, having grown up in Ames, were you a Cyclone fan?
I was a Cyclone fan growing up, yes,
yeah,
sir.
Yeah, I don't blame it. Well, hey, Trent, thanks a lot for coming in tonight, and good luck on Friday night.
Thanks for having me.
You bet. All right, you've listened to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Coldwell Banker Mid-America. At Coldwell Banker, you're not one of many clients, you're our most important client. We listen to your needs, develop long-lasting relationships, and provide the best services, professional support, and resources in the industry. We're constantly exploring new and innovative ways to elevate your experience and exceed your expectations. Our network of resources allows us to be the number one Coldwell Banker franchise affiliate in Iowa, guiding you home for over 30 years. Well, I want to thank my guests again for coming in tonight. We had Coldwell Banker Realtor Amy Wiederin, along with Ankeny Centennial co-head football coach Ryan Pizzetti, and senior quarterback Trenton Smith. I enjoyed the conversation with all three of them, and I appreciate their time. And come back next week for another edition of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast.